Welcome, everybody, to the very first episode of Nerd Parents. We are a group of parents and friends that are coming together in a positive space to discuss some parenting the nerdy way. I am your host, Nicole Spag, and every week we're going to get together. Oh, there's Mateo again. So that intro song you just heard was a little song that was created by Hakito, Eric Van Skyhawk, and he took my son's laugh and integrated it into the music, and it's awesome, and I love it, and I can't believe I'm finally getting to use it for a show. So every week we're coming together with a group of, I guess, like-minded, but maybe not so, you know, there's always difference in opinion, but parents in the Frog Pants community, and I am joined this week by Miss Cleo.
Hello.
Hi, Cleo.
Hello.
We were just talking before we got started on what we should call you, Carrie or Cleo. So we just...
we'll start with Cleo. Uh-huh. I think I answer to both. So, you know, and when we're at Nerdtacular or wherever, people yell out Cleo and yeah. I turn around and wave. So I figured it's easy. And if people start asking who Carrie is, then we can use that too. Oh. I answer to many things, so that's fine.
Alias. You like
yes.
have a covert name.
I do. It's my spy work.
And then we also have joining us Miss Samantha Jane. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Hi.
How is everybody?
It's great.
Hi, Sam.
Yay.
I can't believe we're actually doing this.
I know.
Yay. It's been about 2 years in the making. For those brand new, not familiar with Frog Pants, just to kind of give you a little bit background on this show. So we're part of Frog Pants, the Frog Pants Network by Scott Johnson. We every year get together for a convention called Nerdtacular. And 2 years ago, I said, I really want to do a parenting podcast. And and that's when Nerd Parents was formed. And I finally just said, you know what? It's the new year. We're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to do it. So here we are, and these two lovely ladies decided to join me on this crazy ride that I have no idea what's going to happen, but we'll figure it out as we go. Isn't that
it's
the nature of podcast?
Fun.
Yeah, yeah. The nature of podcasting is you kind of just fly by the seat of your pants in a lot of cases.
It's the nature of parenting, too, so that
yeah,
fits
right.
very, very well.
Totally. So I guess let's just go around. This first episode, I'm calling it episode zero because it's kind of like I'm testing out all of the website. The website's still kind of being built. Everything's kind of happening. It's so funny because I was looking at some theme music and then I remembered that Hakito had made that song. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's perfect for this. So everything's kind of slowly coming together. But ideally what we want to do is every week, a kind of a low pressure for the parents involved, a chance to come together and just talk about what's going on in their life with their family. I know for me, I'm a first time parent. I have a little boy who's now 2 years old, named Mateo. And we were just talking before the show how, especially if you don't really have a lot of friends, especially, I don't know why it seems like I don't know if it's true, but I feel more disconnected around me from, I guess, locally, more connected online to the people that live, you know, hundreds of miles away. I don't feel alone because I talk with people that are like me, I guess, hundreds of miles away. So, Cleo, I know you have a beautiful family as well. You want to tell the listeners?
I do. Yeah. They are just delightful, aren't they?
Yes.
I have three kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter named Sarah. I have who knows everything, by the way.
14. So, yeah.
Yes.
They do.
She knows absolutely mm-hmm. everything. I have an almost 12-year-old daughter named Eden. And I have a 4-year-old son named Colin.
Oh.
And they're a lot of fun. Much like you, I moved from Boston, where I was born and raised, to the Midwest to be with my husband. And We've been married for 15 years and got the three kids, but I don't have any family locally. So a lot of my support network is online.
Yeah.
And complicating that for me in particular is that my middle child, Eden, has some severe special needs. So, and I don't know anybody, even through doctors and hospitals, mm-hmm. who has the same level of disability as Eden or even the same diagnosis. So trying to find support that way can be difficult. But people online are really accepting of us as a family and all the, you know, stuff that comes with us. And it's been a real bonus to me and my family to have met Scott and become involved with the Frog Pants Network and people just really accepting of us and all that comes with us. So that's great.
You have a beautiful family. I love when you post pictures and
just, thank you.
It's such an interesting world or time that we live in right now.
It is. We share so much information with people who in theory don't live next door to us.
I know, right?
No, and live hundreds of miles away, and yet we're closer to them than our neighbors, which is very interesting.
It's almost, when you stop and think about it, it's, you're like, well, yeah, this is how I get my social needs met now.
Yeah.
So Samantha, tell the listeners about your family as well.
Well, we have a small family like you. I have one child. His name is Will. He just turned 4 years old on Christmas Day because the poor thing is a Christmas baby.
Is he understanding that now?
He understands birthdays and Christmas and that his is the same day. I don't know that he really understands that other people don't have that cross to bear.
Right. As it were. Yeah. My brother was born 2 days after Christmas and it was rough.
Yeah.
It's been rough for him.
And it's one of those things that you're either going to embrace it and love it or it's going to be traumatic for them. And I'm trying to minimize the trauma as every parent does. But he is a very energetic, very physical little boy, which has been interesting because both my husband and I are nerds.
Yeah.
And we're neither energetic nor physical, and we're both very calm. So we've got this little bundle of energy that runs around, and he's just like, I want to go outside. I want to play. And we're like, no, the sun will try and kill you. It's not safe out there.
The outer net is dangerous, Will. Stay inside.
Can't we play games?
Where's your iPad at? Let's play a game.
Seriously, he put his iPad down 2 weeks ago and hasn't picked it up.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, how do you survive? I don't understand you.
Yeah. Little Mateo, he loves his iPad as well. And we play games. And in fact, we have a segment on the show called Family Game Night because I really believe in playing games. It's such a great thing for a family to do. I grew up and my mom would always play cards with me. So I don't think I was very old and I'm playing gin rummy with my mom.
Oh, I did the same thing. And my parents are the reason why I got into video games.
Right.
They're old school RPers.
Yeah.
And when I was 12 years old, I came home and there was a 20-sided die on the dining room table with a lot of paper. And I'm just like, what is going on? And my dad's like, oh, don't touch anything. Right. I'm playing a game and it's like, what? It was crazy.
So then did they slowly teach you the game? And
oh yeah. My dad actually DM'd for me and my little friends for a while. And that was super fun. He killed off my first character and my first character's dog.
Oh my goodness.
That was fairly traumatic.
I was going to say, it sounds like it might've been a traumatic experience.
Well, one should never wear plate armor and then jump from a boat to the dock.
Oh. Ooh,
especially if you have the capacity to fumble your rolls continuously.
Oh.
So yeah, that happened.
Science and a bad roll. Bad,
right?
Bad.
Yeah.
My parents are of an entirely different generation. Both of my parents, my mom's in her late 60s, my dad's in his mid 70s. And the concept of gaming is completely lost on them. My dad is an immigrant to this country from mm-hmm. Scotland, and he is very, well, when your idle hands are the devil's work and you have to do things, and we're going to do things. Well, when I started doing things that involved a controller, it was, I don't understand you. Yeah. It's a waste of time. What are you doing? And then as I got more and more involved in it, and then I met other people who had similar mindsets and things like AOL came along, and you could connect with other people. I mean, they're still discovering the mysteries of the mouse as it connects to the computer. know, they're like tech. So my brother, who is actually a network architect for a big company in the East Coast, just bought them each an iPhone.
Oh.
And they cannot get over it. My mother can play solitaire till her face falls off. She loves it. I tell them, you know, you can download apps, and she's just, don't take me there. I'm not ready. You know, right. Just a very slow move up the technological ladder for them. But they always did play card games with friends and relatives, and they always embraced bringing the kids into that. And I think that's so important, because it's those times where you can be competitive, but it's fun. And it just gives you that time to, particularly in today's day and age where we're all so busy, that time to sit down with your family and have it be low pressure and really enjoy yourself is so valuable.
I totally agree.
Just don't get it. So to get it nowadays and kind of go back to some of that old school stuff is just a lot of fun.
Yeah. So really what this podcast is kind of meant to do is kind of, I don't know, create that non-judgy place that we can laugh and share experiences and kind of have a little nerdy support system in place. And honestly, I'm doing this kind of for a selfish reason.
No, it's well, good.
It's funny because Randy said to me, so why are you thinking about doing this? And it's like, I don't talk to anybody about parenting, because none of my friends who live here, I have one friend who lives here, which is kind of sad. I moved away from my parents.
Or I have a couple. I guess I'm new ones.
I moved away from my best friend, who's also a gamer. And I'm now in beautiful, sunny Southern California, which I can't complain about at all. But I have no support structure here. Right. So the concept of once a week, if I can do it, getting online and talking to other parents who are like-minded, they have gadgets in their lives and children who in theory want to get on those gadgets. It will be of great support to me. So I'm doing this for entirely selfish reasons too.
Well, and then we also get inundated with guilt as I think nerdy parents who do use devices, do use things that are maybe not so accepted by I want to call the perfect parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the perfect traditional parents. Yeah. It's like, I'm never going to let my child go on a device until they're in high school. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm exactly the opposite. Will has to learn how to survive in a world that is going to be run by computers. Yeah. I'm already in a world that's run by computers.
Exactly.
The only reason I survived is because I got a Commodore VIC 20 when I was 12 and started programming in BASIC.
Oh, that's
because
awesome.
I wanted a video game.
Right.
And I wasn't going to buy one because who has that kind of money? So it's really important to me that kids learn these things. A recent example was they just did a Kickstarter for these programmable robots that are programmable through iPad.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. In fact, it was because of you. You tweeted it.
Yeah, I watched the video, burst into tears, and told Randy, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And Randy's like, why did you cry? And it's like, because that's a leg up I can give him.
Yeah.
In this world. And it's going to get increasingly more complicated. And I already work on stuff that's ridiculously complicated, but it's just going to get more so. And if he can learn this basic logic early on, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that you guys have this perspective on it, because from somebody, I'm not going to ask ages because that's not a ladylike thing to do. I'm 43. I want to take a crap by myself. That's my plan when it comes to
right.
I mean, you know, I've had kids since the late 90s. I haven't had a whole lot of privacy. So, you know, if I can, I'm not going to lie. And maybe some of those perfect parents are going to say, you know, a perfect mother loves her children at all times. Yeah. You know what? When I need to take care of business,
perfect.
I don't need to be loving everybody. I need a little privacy.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a time and a place for all of it. I totally agree. But yes. I 100% agree with you that there comes a point where these kids are there, and schools are changing this way so much. You know, you guys haven't quite gotten into the whole public school system yet, but there's such an evolution with technology. Oh, ridiculous. Yeah. My kids have, even Eden, who doesn't do, she does assistive technology. She doesn't do as much direct work. It's all iPads. Sarah's school, all the kids have iPads. They're connected through the internet to their teachers at all times.
And it's so they should be.
Really great. And exactly, because this is the kind of the age group now when they start this, you're looking at a workforce in 15 to 20 years that the kids need to be at least able to communicate and not, you know, be like my parents who at 70 are
oh my goodness, and overwhelmed by it all, because mm-hmm. when they move into an educational system, particularly higher education, mm-hmm. they're going to be confronted with people who have been using this for years, and it's going to be the expected norm. So I think it's a great idea to get them involved in it now.
Well, my background, you said higher education, that was mm-hmm. my job for 13 years, actually longer. I worked at a college for 5, and then I came to work for a company that made software for those colleges for 13 years. So I was on the front line seeing these colleges kind of scramble. I remember when the iPad came out, I was doing a podcast on higher education, and I was like, this is going to change everything.
Oh yeah.
And I really think it is. And it has.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, it has already.
It's amazing. So I think really exciting for the kids to be in school and in the technology age. It's kind of overwhelming, I think, for some parents too.
Yeah.
So
but I think anytime you get a technology that's tactile, mm-hmm. Your beginning users become younger.
Yeah, and I agree with you too.
I mean, as Nicole has sent me apps and stuff for Will that are phenomenal, and it's learning the alphabet and learning how to read.
Endless alphabet. Tactile. Thank you, Nicole Spagnolo. Goodness.
Have you done Endless Reader yet?
I haven't started it yet.
Oh, my goodness. Endless Reader. So anybody that knows me knows I am a huge advocate of Endless Alphabet. And they just did a second one called Endless Reader. And so it's all about phonics and learning the sounds of the letters. And so Endless Reader does the same as Endless Alphabet, but then it takes the word and uses it in a sentence. And they're actually smaller words in Endless Reader. Mm-hmm. So I swear, this is how Mateo learned how to say the word red. And then it uses it in a sentence.
Yeah.
And so Mateo now can say his alphabet from A to Z. He can count to 20. I mean, he just turned 2, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on?
It's great.
And it's not just giving him these apps and saying, go at it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I sit down with them and we do things together, and there's different, but there are times where I just need a little time. And I'm like, here, have the iPad. Mommy has to take a shower.
But I think that the things that they learn from those things make them that much more interactional with the world around them. They're wanting to say things. And what is that? And how do I do this? Mm-hmm. And I saw this. Colin will say, you know, he'll be looking, I was putting up Christmas stockings this year, and it was the first time he'd ever really kind of acknowledged that they were there. And he said, what is? And he pointed at it, and I said, well, stockings. Stocking begins with S.
Yeah.
And he'd go, S for stocking. And then he'd go over and name something else. And that's kind of the way that it was given to him, is the way he approaches his world around him now. So he is able to draw from that thing that he's learned and pattern that learning behavior to all the other words that he's interested in. I think it really is super, super helpful to get those kids. He reads too. He's starting to read now quite a bit. My daughter thinks it's great. She walks around the house with him like he's a little show pony and says, what's this? Read that. What does that say? And she's got him saying some things that I frankly was hoping he wouldn't know how to say yet, but he's got them down because he just understands the idea behind words that start with this sound like that.
Right.
And then I can put those letters together and make that word happen. But it's a great tool, but I'm going to go download Endless Reader.
Endless
shortly.
Reader.
This is going to be great.
And when Endless Alphabet came out, it was free. And I'm like, oh my God, I would pay $20 for this app.
Well, that's the thing. Like, give me an alphabet for free.
Yeah.
But then give me 10 more that I can buy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they do with Endless Reader. So Endless Alphabet, once you buy it, they keep adding words to it, and you only had to buy it once. With Endless Reader, they're doing that pack. So they'll give you 10 words for free, and then you can buy pack 1, which is like another 20 words, and like you can keep adding to the reader with the different words. And they actually named all the little characters on this one. So in Endless Alphabet, they had all these cute little characters, and the word would come up, and then the narrator would say, you know, a sentence using that word. But that was pretty much it. And it was so funny because for a while, Mateo was very obsessed with the woman talking, the narrator, and he would just keep hitting repeat and repeat just to hear
her.
It was the cutest thing. So it's interesting how these apps evolve with the child. Because when Mateo first started playing with Endless Alphabet, he was 15 months old, and he was 15 months old. So it was mainly me taking the letters and putting them in the slot. And then he would watch the little animation and he'd laugh and we'd giggle. And then as he grew, he started doing more of the letters himself until the next thing I knew, he's like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And I'm like, holy moly, when did you do that? So it's really cool to see these apps kind of evolve with the kid.
Nicole, were you the one who told me about Monster Socks?
Monster Socks? No, what's that?
Monster Socks is, I'm just trying to find it on the App Store. It's a app, but it's like a book and it's an animated book. And this monster goes looking for his socks.
I've been seeing a lot more of those on the App Store with the books and the, you can flip the page. There's one called Goodnight Mo. It's so cute. And it's a nighttime book and it's a little book and he opens and he flips the page and he hits little Mo and he's like, and things like that. So it sounds kind of similar in that it's
this activity thing. Like the child has to help the monster out because the monster has to cross the river. So they have to extend a bridge,
Monster Socks.
And it's seriously one of the cutest apps that I've seen out there. And Will was obsessed with it for a while.
Oh,
it was cute. Just like, he would lie on the floor with his iPad watching Monster Socks over and over and over.
Well, for anyone listening to this in a car or anything like that, and don't worry about writing this stuff down, I'm going to have all the show notes of everything we discuss on our website at nerdparents.com. And so you'll be able to find these links to any of the topics that we talk about. Shall we go into our main topic? We kind of went on a tangent a while. Since this is kind of our beta episode, I was curious to hear from you guys on being kind of in your own personal parenting island. What are some of the resources you guys use to kind of reach out? I know we were talking before the show started that some of the like mommy stuff kind of intimidates me.
Terrifies me.
And it just, I don't know. I just, when I go on like babbel.com, I'm just, oh my gosh, there's so much, there's a lot of judging and things like that. But there's a lot of good information out there too. And sometimes you have to get through some of that. And so
well,
I was like,
and I found that started with pregnancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like it rapidly became very apparent to my mother and to my darling husband that I should not be able to read the internet when I'm pregnant. Because the disaster stories were awful.
They are.
And it was obviously all going to happen to me.
Yeah.
And it just made everything so much more stressful. Also, that book, What to Expect When You're Expecting, do not read that book.
Oh, I didn't
read
that
one.
Yeah,
no. Put that down and walk away, kids.
Right?
Don't even pick it up.
Yeah.
It's just nothing but here's where you should be. You're not good enough.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
right.
God.
Yeah.
And it's got lovely spinoffs like Now After the Baby's Arrived and The Toddler Years. And I think there's a teen one. It's just, thank you. Thanks for setting baselines for my expectations on my child's development and what my body can do. I don't feel like enough of a failure already. Fantastic.
Well, and this, I think, is a really important point.
Want me to hang up on whoever is calling me right now? Hold on a moment. I'll mute the phone.
What were you going to say, Sam?
Beta.
So I think it's important to remember when you're talking about parenting and pregnancy and all of the things involved in that, that every kid is different.
Yep. I put that in the show notes. I was like, reminder, every kid is different.
Yeah. Totally. And what Will does is going to be completely different. And what he reacts to is going to be completely different from what another kid reacts
to. Sure.
And I think a lot of times with these mommy bloggers, you get them looking at their small, census of their children and their family and what has worked for them and them preaching that as gospel.
Right.
And to me, that's certainly not the case. Will is an exceedingly loving child. He is quite smart. Not that I have any bias at all, but he will react differently to me saying, I'm sorry, I can't hug you right now than another child.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. To Will, it's the end of the world. Because obviously we're done and he's going to be adopted by somebody else because I don't love him anymore.
Aww.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas another kid is going to be like, I don't want to hug anyway. Mom, go away. Right? So.
Yeah.
Mateo's weird because, he's not weird, but he sometimes wants to be affectionate and other times not. Like, I still kind of feeling him out. Like, I'm not sure. And that's the other thing, being a new parent, Mm-hmm. There were times, and as we go through these episodes, I'm sure I'll tell you many stories. And there were a few times that, you know, looking back, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking?
Oh God, yes.
Like, yes. Oh my gosh. And you know what? It's okay. Like,
why did I ever tell him that he could sleep with the light on? Why?
Yes, right.
It's 2 years and he's still sleeping with the light on.
Right. I mean,
obviously I have failed.
No, you didn't. See, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I really wanted to do this podcast, because there was a podcast that the only podcast that I listened to while I was pregnant, it was a podcast called Pregtastic. And it was a round table of women that were pregnant, and they would go through and they would say, you know, my good part of my day was this and my bad part of the day was this. So they had a chance to kind of commiserate almost in their pregnancy, because I had a horrible pregnancy, horrible. And it seemed like everyone around me just like, I love being pregnant. And I just wanted to punch them in the face.
Yeah. That's why I don't discuss my pregnancy with you, because I feel so guilty.
But see, that's okay. That's okay. Mine was so freaking
easy compared to yours. And it's just not fair.
No, but it's different. Again, not only are kids different, but parents are different. And I think it's just, you know, we're going to be here in your ear holes telling you what our experiences are. Not necessarily those are going to be your experiences. And hopefully we always keep it on a positive note so we don't freak you out.
Right.
So we have a segment later on the show called Solicited Advice. And because the one thing, especially if you're going a new parent, you will get is a ton of unsolicited advice. So hopefully it's a place that you can actually say, hey, you know, I'm curious about what your thoughts. And we're going to have different parents on the show. Not just this first episode, it happens to be all mommies, but we're going to have daddies on the show too. So, let's see. So for you, Samantha, do you have any particular resources that you use?
I mean, other than the whiskey?
That's why I put liquor next
Amen.
To it,
right?
Mommy needs a sippy cup too.
And yeah, exactly.
I swear to God, there was a time that I said, "I see why parents drink now." Like, right? I'm not a drinker, and there's been a few moments that I totally get it now.
Well, and this is the thing, Randy, my husband, my darling husband, often says you talk more about drinking than you actually drink. So people think that you drink an obscene amount of whiskey like every week, and you maybe have a tipple every 3 weeks, right? So whiskey isn't really a crutch for me.
No.
I promise, Mom. I have to be reminded to look after myself. Yeah. And that's a hard, hard thing to do as a mother, because as soon as you get a baby in your belly, your brain changes and you are no longer the priority. And it's really difficult to remember, hey guys, I need to have a shower because that makes me feel human.
Yeah.
But Will wants cereal. So, okay, I got to get Will cereal. Then I'll go have a shower. Well, then Randy needs to go to work and he wants to know where this one thing is. And it's like, oh, well, I know where that is. So I'll find it for him. And then it's like, oh God, I'd really love a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. No, shower, you know? And then it's like, no, the dog is jumping up and down because he really needs to go outside and go pee and the poor thing, you know, it's just not fair.
Can I ask you, when you're done with your shower, do you say anything? Do you do anything after the shower? I've just started this ritual
repeat on a podcast.
So when I get done with my shower, I go, that's much better. I always, and it's like every single time. And then just recently I was like, I must do this every single time I take a shower.
No. And that's pretty much my reaction was, oh my God, I'm human again. Right. Yeah. And now I'm prepared to go out and deal with the world. Right. And by that time, Will is off to daycare and my husband's off to work. And it's like, okay, I'm ready. Oh, nobody's here. And that's, you know, that's also part of the thing about being a parent. Is making the decision whether you're going to stay at home with your kids or go out into the workforce.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Cleo, are you a stay-at-home mom?
I am now. I retired last June.
Oh,
so I worked full-time nights for a long time. I have a my background's medical, so my degree, I worked in a medical lab, and I'm the science math part of the house. My husband is the languages history part of the house. So we kind of covered the whole gamut with in terms of, you know, broad spectrum experience. He works for, this is so appropriate for us, my husband's a vice president of a toy company. Christmas is great at my house. He works real, real hard. He travels a lot. So we were at the point where, for me, my crutch is coffee, and I literally will not lie. I drink it all day long.
All day long. That explains your Twitter handle.
Yes.
I do that with tea.
I am the caffeinated. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I am that mom that you see who at Starbucks who's like, no, I need it. No, it's not, I want it. I need it now, and I need it immediately. So please hurry up.
Do you know what you're doing to me right now?
Yeah, exactly. I worked full time, and it got to the point, particularly after Colin was born. I mean, when Eden was diagnosed with her disability, she was only 10 weeks old. I grew up, and I had a 2-year-old at the time. So it kind of came together as I was taking care of infants as opposed to one infant. And it kind of grew up over time, and I got used to it. And then when Colin came along, you know, Sarah was 10, Eden was about 8, and my husband and I had always wanted to have a bigger family, but with Eden, it was always, let's see where she is in school. Let's see where she is with that. And then finally, I looked at my husband and said, yo, babe, I'm 38. We got to pull the trigger or get off the pot. One of the two here. We got to make up our mind. And he went, oh, yeah, babies. So when Colin came along, I was an older mom. And I didn't have the tolerance for a lot of the shenanigans that younger moms are willing to put up with. And I was just tired. I said,
interesting. Okay.
I cannot handle it at this point.
I had Will when I was 38. I am almost 42. Was I 38 or something? I don't know. Numbers
are hard. Isn't it funny how we forget? Because I'm 37. And, I have to do the math sometimes.
Exactly.
I do too.
Yeah. I know how old I'm going to be. I just can't remember how old I was when Will was born. So I thought that being an older mom, I'm going to have all of this like wisdom.
Right.
Yeah. No.
None. Because, I think I had less.
Because the first thing to go is sleep.
Yeah.
Yep. And when you are sleep deprived, you become the most ridiculously stupid person on earth. Oh. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
And it is insane. And I swear, if I had had another doctor say to me, you should have had kids when you were 25, I was going to punch them in the face.
I had them all
telling me to retire earlier. You need to leave your job. You need to do something. You and your husband need to figure something out. Your kids need to go into daycare. Eden can't go into daycare because she's too high maintenance, and I can't afford private nursing because, you know, America. So I can't afford private nursing because it's crazy. So what I was doing was working full-time nights and my husband worked days. And on paper, it makes a lot of sense. It was, well, we've got the double income, which certainly helps in this day and age. And Sarah's in public school, so we've got time for her to be in school. Eden's goes to school 5 days a week, but I have to be available to get her at any time. So as long as I'm available during the day to get her, that'll be great. Well, that was fine for the first few years. And then the baby came along. And it was, oh, that baby, that thing has needs all during the day, doesn't it? Oh, when am I supposed to sleep? And for quite a while there, I was functioning at maybe 3 hours of sleep a day and not in a stretch.
Isn't that brutal?
So I became extremely dependent on caffeine just to function because my husband would come home at 5 o'clock. I would high five and be going out the door. And then I would do all these hours on my feet and come home the next morning and be doing it all over again. So there came a point where I said, something's got to give. And I think that's a really hard thing for moms to say is say, look, something's got to give. And it's got to be for the benefit of everyone involved. Because if mom doesn't take care of mom, nobody else is going to get what they need in the long run.
Yeah.
So I decided last year, I said, I'm going to pull the trigger and I'm going to retire. And the day that I decided to retire was the day my husband became the vice president of the company. So it worked out really well for us.
Oh, that's good.
So I get to stay home now, but I absolutely still understand that lack of sleep, that I don't feel like I'm making decisions right. And that can really help. That certainly doesn't help the guilt load.
Yeah.
I was really lucky because maternity leave in Canada is 12 months.
It doesn't pay you anything at all.
It's 12 weeks.
I took 3 weeks after Colin was born.
You guys totally got ripped off. I swear. Canada, awesome. So the pay that you get is not, they're not expecting professional women to take time off. Let's just put it that way. It basically puts you at the poverty level.
Wow.
So it's tight and you can do it. I ended up taking 11 months off before I'd run through savings and things like that and said, no, I just got to go back to work. And that was a very hard, surprisingly hard decision for me. But that first 11 months, being able to sleep at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because he's asleep finally and he's not screaming at me about something, you know, that was invaluable. So I can't imagine people who go back after 12 weeks or after 3 weeks. I just can't imagine how you function.
Well, one of the unsolicited pieces of advice that I got constantly was sleep when the baby sleeps.
Sleep when the baby sleeps. Right. When am I supposed to get anything else done?
If you say that to someone, they should punch you.
Right? Yes, right in the face.
Because the baby doesn't sleep.
Right?
Yeah. He doesn't sleep. And like, I think Samantha made a perfect point. When he does sleep, that's when you can shower, poop, possibly stuff something in your food hole.
Yes.
Maybe make a phone call, but you can't do anything too loud because if that microwave beats, that little son of a gun is going to wake up and, crap, here we go all over again.
That's
the thing is, how far away is the laundry from their bedroom?
Oh, yeah.
Because that depends on whether or not you can put laundry in.
You do. You have to do math. You have to do higher math. You have to do like, what is the ratio between the distance from the baby's room to the volume of laundry I have to complete in a 3 days? It's a word problem. Everything is math at some point. It's horrible.
Well, and I think for any new parent, like you can't think about what might happen because you may have an angel baby, a baby that does sleep. But you may not. And, you know, you just got to roll with the punches and you got to be flexible and you got to kind of, you know.
And it's interesting because what Cleo said about, you know, wanting to have a large family really resonated with me. Because when Randy and I got together, we got together very quickly. We were older people. We knew exactly what we wanted. We were brutally honest with each other and managed not to terrify the living daylights out of each other. And one of the things we said to each other almost at the same time was, we want lots of kids.
Right.
Lots of kids, like a ridiculous amount of kids. We had one and then went, no, no, we don't. And both of us was like, I'm really sorry because I made this really clear that I want a lot of kids. I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
And both of us keep going back to each other now. Are you sure you're okay? Because I said this when we got together and that's a deal breaker for a lot of people. And both of us are like, no, no more children, no more children. And it's, our child is wonderful. He is an exceptional human being, and every day that I spend with him is amazing. If I got another one of him, I would have to die because I don't have enough energy.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough hands.
You want to give to him the things that you know he needs, and you want to give it to him the best way you can. And if there's more than one of him, there's not enough of you. Yeah. And they're not cheap. That's for sure.
No, they are not cheap. They are so expensive.
And I will say this, Sam, though, if you if you did have another, you would figure it out.
Yeah,
oh,
you
probably.
Do.
You do.
Probably.
I mean,
but luckily,
Cleo is the perfect example.
Science, I have a choice.
Yeah, you know, you'll figure it out. We planned all of our kids. I am very, very fortunate, and I will say this to the entire listening audience, because I know that there is a collective of individuals who do struggle with fertility. If my husband looks at me the right way, I end up pregnant. There, I can get pregnant at the drop of a hat. So I didn't struggle with any of that.
Once we decided to get pregnant, we were pregnant very, very quickly. It actually surprised me because for years of not wanting to be pregnant ever, I had, you know, barricaded my womb very effectively. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was convinced that it was going to take me at least a year.
See,
to get all of those barricades out of the way.
But you do, you figure it all out as you go. Like when I was pregnant with, I was pregnant with Eden, Sarah was not quite two before she was born. And I had a lot of, I grew up on the East Coast. Now, East Coast mentality when it comes to parenting is extremely different from a lot of the other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. When I moved out here to the Midwest, where Nicole is from, I'm in Kansas City now, there's a lot of parents go to high school sports games and parents are very involved with their children. And I'm not saying that anecdotally for me that this is necessarily the way it is for everybody, but for a lot of my friends and growing up in the East Coast, like if your parents came to a game, it's because you were in trouble and they were going to get you. Like it wasn't because they were there to watch. Most parents we are very, very work centered. Job first, family second, you provide, and then you worry about the fallout of not being there when things happened. So When I was growing up and I thought, oh, we're going to have, you know, Aaron was working and I was working and we can provide for these kids and it'll be great. I was sitting on the couch with Eden when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. Oh. And all I could think in my head is, what am I doing having another child? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How am I going to do this? But it works itself out.
It does.
When Eden got diagnosed, it's like the world has been swept out from under you. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Who comes into this thinking, you know what I want to be? I want to be a special needs parent. Yeah, right. That's for right. me. Like, nobody signs up for that. No. Unless, you know, adoption wise, sure, you can make some of those choices. But when it's driven on you, and, yeah. and in some cases you may want the child, but the minute you get pregnant, you go, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. You know what to do with it. You really do.
Doesn't everybody have that reaction though when they get pregnant, even when you want the child? It's like, oh crap, what am I doing?
See, for me, I fall on the opposite end. Mark and I, I'm going to get personal. It took us 8 years to get pregnant. Yeah. And we had already resigned ourselves to being dinks. And we even did a podcast called Dinks Like Us.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're like, okay, we're going to be double income, no kids. We're going to, you know, spoil all of our, you know, friends' kids and
family members. And,
yeah. And then just one day it was like the pee stick said yes. And I said, holy crap.
What have I
done? Oh my God, this can't be right. And I swear to God, I took like 5 tests because I just thought it was wrong because we've been off birth control for 8 years and it just didn't happen.
And well, and that's the thing. Like when Randy told me I was pregnant, because of course he knew before I did.
Oh, wow.
Uber. I couldn't believe it. Right.
Yeah.
And then I punched myself in the boob and it hurt like hell. And I went, yeah, maybe I am pregnant.
It's a weird experience. So,
yeah, I tell all my single friends, and I have a lot of, I'm the oldest. I'm not the oldest in my family, but I'm the oldest out of, my husband's family. Mm-hmm. So, my husband is the oldest of 4 siblings, and he's 6 years younger than me. So they're all younger than me, and all my sister-in-laws are younger than me, significantly, by like 15, 20 years younger than me. And they were, what am I going to do? I just don't know what have I done? I mean, I wanted a baby, but I don't know. I said, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Well, just because you did it doesn't mean I will. I understand, because your experience is going to be different from mine, but don't come unglued. You were you and you were capable before you got pregnant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will figure out a way to make what works for you now. And that comes into that whole unsolicited advice thing. I love having friends and family around, and I think that's great. Being the oldest, everyone comes to me for the advice. Mm-hmm. And when I go to look for it, I have to look elsewhere. Like I can't come to my sister-in-laws and ask them a whole lot of questions, because they're the ones who come to me for the most part. And my kids are the oldest. So they kind of, well, Sarah did that, or Eden or Colin did this. And I know. Right. Don't look to me. I'm not the end all be all in parenting, guys. You look amongst your
friends.
That's
why you're on this podcast. Sam and I are looking to you.
Yeah. Multiple kids and they've survived a lot longer than ours.
I weep for the future. Don't moderate off of me. That's for sure. Yeah. I think that I've always told my friends that there's always wiggle room in every decision. Mm-hmm. And as long as your kids are happy and you guys are happy and everyone's healthy and everyone's moving towards waking up tomorrow on the right side of the dirt, you won.
Yeah.
End of the day. Well, I don't care what else happened.
And that's the thing. Like, you have a job to get them to adulthood with a certain number of skills and the ability to be able to pay for their own therapy.
Yep.
Beyond
absolutely.
That,
and provide. Yep. No, I agree with you 100%. I actually said to Sarah the other day, Sarah has alopecia. So she has, and it's stress related. Now, I cannot even imagine growing up with a special needs sibling that the pressure that doesn't put on her and socially and everything else. And she's in 8th grade. Junior high sucks. I don't care who you are. Junior high isn't fun for anybody. It's a whole world of discovery and people starting to
puberty.
Boys that it's just horrible. The boys that just wanted to play video games with you now are looking at you funny. It did bad. So she has been dealing with kind of this whole alopecia thing, and it's spotty, balding here, there, and everywhere. And I always told her, you know what? That's your thing. Eden's thing is cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. Colin's thing, maybe a food that he doesn't like. Yeah. It's you're going to find your way. Yeah. Just take your time and just figure out who you are and who you want to be. I have no, as long as you're happy and healthy and you have peace, I feel like I have won in the parenting game. That. Whatever that is for them.
I mean,
and it may not be what I want, though.
So. I mean, technology is good and bad. And on the bad side is that we, as parents, we read this stuff and we feel this amazing pressure. And I know there was a number of books that I read, and like, we'll have an episode all about sleep in the future, I'm sure. But the point being is that one size does not fit all. And if you are not looking at your child and seeing, you know, how they react, then you've missed the point, because don't follow somebody's instructions word for word without looking at your child to see how they are handling it. Because for me, the whole sleep thing, I was trying to do one thing and Mateo's like, oh no, I'm not doing that.
Well, and that's the thing. I read this thing the other day, and I can't remember who said it, but somebody obviously brilliant. And they said that children are not computer programs.
Right.
You cannot put in data and expect a certain result. Right. They are going to skew it every single time.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So you have to constantly be troubleshooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. What can we do to stop that? Because that's evil.
Right.
Tails
the same way.
So we got Will this little bug that lights up at 7:30 when he's allowed to get up, and it turns green.
Yep.
And he knows when the bug is green, he can get out of bed. And a lot of times he will pick up the bug and take it with us to prove to us that it's 7:30. Sometimes mommy doesn't believe him.
We use something similar called a tot clock. And it changes colors too. That's what solved our problem.
Yeah.
I just yell at them. Go back to bed. I'm not human yet.
I tried yelling and the yelling didn't work, because Will was just like, I don't care what you're telling me. I'm going to crawl all over the dog now. And the dog is going to get mad at you. So.
Oh, that's funny.
I agree. I mean, technology, I'm so glad we have it, and I'm so glad it's available to our kids, because in a lot of ways, I think it levels the playing field with our kids. We can say to them, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to go look this up on the internet, or I'm going to look for this. And they can do the same. Mm-hmm. So they feel like they have that connection with us that way. However, there is a whole lot of what I call going baby center out there, where when baby center, please don't start a legal problem with us now.
Oh,
that site can scare the crap out of anybody. It's, your child has a cough, polio. Like,
and it can be incredibly, it's like what to expect when you're expecting.
Yeah.
Yes.
It depends on what type of a person you are. If you can vet the information and not assume that your child has every problem on earth, you're fine. Yes. Yep. If you're like me and assume the worst of everything, you cannot do that, because it'll make your anxiety go through the roof.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I think that there are a lot of those different parenting philosophies, and there's a lot of schools of thought on the ways people should do different things. The whole, the breast is best. And who does formula feeding? You're giving your kids poison.
That's a whole...
Do you vaccinate? Do you not vaccinate? Circumcision? Like, there's all these topics. And I am
circumcision. Such an interesting...
It's a big thing. Mm-hmm. There is such a lot of information out there. And I think it's great when parents have passion for the things that inspire them to want to be better parents, whatever that is for them. But when you take all of that stuff you're so passionate about, and you turn around and say, this is the way it's done, this is why, because I read this article, and this is this, and I've read peer-reviewed things, that works for you. It doesn't necessarily going to work for other people.
Right.
And as long as other people are, I default at parents being smart enough to investigate what they want for their children. I default there because it's not fair for me as a woman, as a mother, just as another human being on 2 feet walking around on the earth, to assume that they're not, they went into having children knowing that it was going to not come with an instruction manual. That you're going to have
sometimes,
to.
I sometimes do default to that, but it depends on who I'm talking to and what pops out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And then I'll take a step back and go, okay, so let's discuss some science.
Sure.
And, you know, let's get some basics out of the way first.
Yep.
But that comes back to my history as a programmer and dealing with a lot of users.
Yeah. I used to struggle with it. I don't anymore, but I used to struggle with, particularly with my siblings, the younger ones that would be asking me questions. I don't ever want to, feel like I'm educating them. Mm. Like, no, I'm sharing anecdotal evidence that is not representative of an entire thousands of years of human population on this earth. It happened more than once. You'll live through it. You know, you're going to get there. But I understand, believe me, how things can get so big in our own minds about the smallest of topics. But because for us, it's precious because it's our children.
Right.
And being able to laugh at yourself and not take yourself seriously. Guys, I don't take present my parenting with Eden half as seriously as most of the people who know me. I just don't. Everyone says it must be so hard. I don't know how you do it. My problems are just different. They're not harder. It's just what I have. I could have a child with incredible behavioral difficulties. Mm-hmm. I could have a child with cancer who has a life expectancy issue. I could have anything go wrong with any one of my kids. My thing, epilepsy, cerebral palsy. It's just my thing. It's and I handle it my way. And I don't doubt for any second that any parent wouldn't go and get educated about it. I didn't know about this crap before I had kids. Right. I had a parent that had seizures, but it was not the same type of seizures Eden had. And I certainly didn't know what to do when I first saw, you know, I thought I had been babysitting for years and I already had a two-year-old. I got this parenting. This is going to be great. When a 10-week-old has a seizure in front of you, you kind of lose your poop. You don't know what to do at first. And you have to learn.
But you figured it out.
Yeah, you figure it out as you go.
But part of the reason that people admire you so much, coming from somebody who admires you, is your ability to handle that. Because
my
instant reaction to what sometimes happens with your daughter is imagining Will in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I, even thinking about it, lose my poop.
Yeah.
Right?
It's hard to be objective to Eden because the concept of a child being in a distressful situation that they can't control is heart-rending for most people. It really is. She is, without a doubt, the easiest of my three children to raise. Oh, wow. Because the expectations, there's no expectations there. There's none. There's no, she's going to be in public school. There's no, she's going to, I mean, it sounds somewhat sad. She is never going to drive. She's probably never going to get married. And she may only have a life expectancy of her mid-teens. So you know what? The hell with this noise. She's part of this family. Yeah. We're going to live our lives because she deserves to have all the experiences that we have, good, bad, and indifferent. And we're just going to make everything the best we can for as long as we have her because she doesn't have an expiration date stamped on the bottom of her foot. None of us do.
Stupid.
You know what I mean? None of us do. So we just kind of get up every day. Yeah. We get, and we go forward.
And that's the thing too, to remember with parenting, there are no guarantees. Mm-hmm. Sadly, there are children who pass away before they should. Yep. Sadly, there are kids who grow up to be monsters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's not the parent's fault all the time. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes it is the parent's fault, but you know, and it's this whole concept of benchmarks. Will is in preschool right now, and they're like, well, we want him to hit this benchmark before he goes to this class and this benchmark and all that. And I hate benchmarks, especially when you're dealing with a four-year-old, for crying out loud. He's 4 years old. Let him play. Yeah.
Didn't you say that he got homework?
He got homework.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
He got homework.
Oh.
The concept
and it's
is
because
weird
they
to
want
me.
Him to recognize the alphabet and all of the numbers up to 10. And it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's just a little thing. And so the teacher said, I recommend that you get flashcards and you do it with Will at home every night. And my brain went, homework? No. And I'm like, okay, let's make this into a game. So we get out Endless Alphabet. Yeah. And he loves it, but it's not doing what he needs, which is making him understand that letter for some reason. It's just not connecting.
So then we
get flashcards. He doesn't want to do them. They're boring.
They are boring.
He doesn't care if it's a kite or a, I don't know, orange. He doesn't care.
It's not the way he learns.
Right.
It's not the way he takes it in. Just like we all have in our relationships, even with adults and even with our kids and even with other people, we have different ways that we expect love and have needs and want to communicate. And kids from very small ages are the same thing. They all have their own way of learning and wanting to do things. Colin is very much like Will. He needs it to be playful and interactive and stimulated in a way that he gets it. My daughter is having a horrible time with the second level of algebra. Absolutely not her thing. And from a mom who is a science and math nerd, I'm like, come on, just get it.
It's
but
so easy.
I can't force it. So what I do is I have taken math and figures And I just help her with it in a way. I attach it to something that she knows and has an interest in. Right. So I attach it basically to all things One Direction. How many concerts did they have? What's the percentage of those concerts over?
Oh my gosh,
so it's just, but it connects to her in a way that it makes the information not so, I just want to block it out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be bothered with it. It becomes something that is easy, better for her because it's her level. Well, and even if it's not what I would want to do, like, okay, it works. Yeah.
For me, I'm a very visual learner as well. And this whole concept of gamification, I love it. I love, love, like making it fun. Why does it have to be boring?
The kids grow up so quickly anyway.
We end up playing games like Super Y has a board game out with letters and words and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we play a modified version of the Super Y game where we're just concentrating on letters and numbers. He gets onto his leap pad and he's tracing letters and numbers.
Yeah.
And he seems to do better when he's physically doing something. He's also left-handed, which means that his brain works like mine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, me too.
So I got him some mats where he can draw with a colored crayon on those mats, the letters and numbers, so that he has a more physical visual representation of what's happening instead of just looking at something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For me, if I write or I type something, I remember it. And it's awesome. If I look at it, forget it. I have no idea.
I've never been the type of person to read something and like get it and remember it and like attach it to my brain. Mark, my husband, on the other hand, oh my gosh, he can just read something and then just know it. And I'm like, whoa, that's just a crazy skill in my opinion.
And it's just, and like to top it off, I have the memory of a gnat.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, if you ask me in 3 hours what we discussed, I'll just say parenting stuff.
Go to the show notes.
Right. But I'm worried that Will has inherited that from me. Well, right. And that will put a damper on his ability to learn.
But I don't think so, because he's in a
day and attention,
age.
Yeah, it's an attention span thing, I believe, at this age, where they just are like, look, I just have too much interesting stuff going on to be bothered with nailing all this down right now.
I have to transform Bumblebee right now.
Yes, exactly.
And I can remember how to do this really complicated thing.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what A looks like.
You know, again, all kids are different. Mateo was born premature. So he's had a delay, especially on his speech. Mm. And so we all go through things with our kids. And again, I hope we're stressing this as you're listening to the show, that it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And
situation. Are you doing sign with Mateo?
You know what? We were doing sign, but I am one lazy ass parent.
It takes dedication, babe.
It totally takes dedication. And he had a couple of signs in his, like, eat. He would do eat.
Yeah.
And now, since we've gotten, he got ear tubes, he's speaking it more. So I've gotten really lazy. Like, I don't even remember the last time I signed with them. So, yeah, that's another thing. You will build up things and you're like, I'm going to do this and this, and he's going to learn sign language. And you have all these great grandiose ideas of what you're going to be as a parent, and what your child's going to do as a child.
Yeah. And they will direct that for you.
Sometimes it just doesn't happen.
And like a big thing for me when Will was born is, I'm going to breastfeed and we're going to co-sleep. Right. And it's like, no, your boobs don't want to do that, because your child eats more than any other human being on the planet. And no, you're not going to co-sleep because he kicks you.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yep.
That's
Mother Nature is funny.
Isn't it right?
She likes for you to plan things, and then she just whips the rug out from underneath you. I firmly believe that parents.
Did we lose Cleo?
Did we lose Cleo?
I think we lost Cleo. Oh no. She firmly believes she was going to drop a pearl of wisdom on us.
You know what? You know what? It's Mother Nature getting back at her. Right? Don't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah, she just dropped. Cleo, you're
there. Oh, I'm back.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I'm back. My phone exploded. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Fun.
Mother Nature again. I started talking about her and she said, I don't think so. Don't make me look bad, woman.
I'm going to get three people to call you right now.
Yep. I am looking over at my 4-year-old right now, and he is sitting in a chair across from me, and he has my husband's PS Vita.
Oh.
And he is watching YouTube videos about Play-Doh.
Yep. Really?
And how to make shapes and all of these things. Oh, I don't know whether anybody has seen these vines that I have posted, but he is very visually connected to things, and then he tries to go and recreate it himself.
Oh, cool.
And he got a piece of paper and was cutting shapes, just things. Yeah. And I said, what are you doing? I'm cutting. Okay, you cut away, and just letting him go and letting him figure out how to use scissors on his own. And he came over to me and he held up a little shape, and I said, what did you make? And I'm thinking, I'm going to hear it's a house, perhaps a piece of pizza. Right. It's a parallelogram. Oh. I mean, really? Like, you know, and then he came back 10 minutes later. It's a trapezoid. Oh, who does this? Cute. And that's watched adorable. Something about shapes and colors and sizes. And right there next to the triangle, it was these other just more complicated shapes. And but he is definitely just a visual sponge. Mm-hmm. And if I said to him, let's sit down and read something, he'd be like, yeah, you enjoy that. Have a good time with all that business. Because he just wants to see and be and do with you. And that may change as he gets older. Mm-hmm. You know, his dad is more of a writer and a reader and that type of thing. I worked in a lab. I'm very hands-on. I like to see things happen in front of me, reactions, you know, spatial relations, rational things. Like I can, that's me 100%. They probably got that from me. So my thing that's different is I am the one that has the memory of a horse. I remember stuff from years and years ago, which I'm going to tell you now, you may feel bad about having what we call mommy brain. I wish that I couldn't remember half of the atrocities that I have attributed to my children. I've done horrible things.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that my terrible memory sucks in some regards, but I'm really glad that it exists in some other regards.
We should do one entire episode about the most hilarious things that you have done and the things that would make Mother Nature go, what did you do with the gift I have given you?
She can't remember them. Well, now
I have enough for all of you. Believe me.
Okay.
That will be, I have enough for everyone.
We will make that the main topic for the next show.
Nice.
Well, let's move on because honestly, I was really wanting this to be like a 45-minute episode, but I had a feeling we were going to go over an hour because this is really the first time we've ever spoken. So it's okay. Yeah. It's episode zero. So let's move on to solicited advice. This is the emails that you send us at nerdparents@gmail.com. So if you would like to send us an email, feel free to. We have our first email from Thorin in the Tadpole. So
Yay.
He says, how do you deal with kids when they are throwing temper tantrums in public, say a store? We have a four-year-old who does this routinely out of the blue when he fails, falls. Prone, lays on the floor, screams, knocks stuff off the shelves, etc. Putting him in the cart isn't always an option, as that's usually where his three-year-old sister is. Any tips or tricks that you guys find helpful would be great. Looking forward to listening to your new show, Chad Thorn. Well, thank you, Thorn, for being our very first email.
I have one tip.
Okay, you go for it.
Bribery. It sounds terrible, but it works so well.
When we
moved down here when Will was just over a year old, and we started going to the grocery store with Will because I no longer had grandparents to take Will while I needed to go to the grocery store. So Will was in a cart, so he was contained, but he would frequently screech and make loud noises and things like that. And he was just getting to the point where he would start listening to me. So I would say to him, if you are a good little boy, we will go see the lobsters.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay, I don't understand. So then I took him to see the lobsters, and he loves any creature.
Yeah.
And there were these weird looking creatures crawling all over each other, looking very sad and pathetic, poor things. And he loved it. And that worked until they got rid of the lobster.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then I started using Hot Wheels.
Oh.
And we don't use them in every store. It's usually one store, but it starts the pattern of behavior that you're expecting mm-hmm. from him. And so it spills over to other stores. So now if we go into Target, he's like, do I get a car? And it's like, I don't know. You might or you might not, depending on how long we're in there and depending on how good you are.
Right.
And so now he realizes that it's a variable thing. So he has to be super good.
Yeah.
But he does remember to remind me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
for me, so Mateo's two, and as soon as we put him on the floor, he's like Will. He's just like, whoa, I just got to run everywhere. So he's just now kind of getting the concept of staying by my side and listening. So we're still working on that. But a lot of times I honestly, I de- I don't want to say deprived, but yeah, I kind of hold out on the iPad knowing that if we're going to go out to the store, I can have that as one of my tools in my toolbox to say, hey, bud, you want to play a little Endless Alphabet as you sit in the cart? And but his 4-year-old's walking because his three-year-old sister's in the cart. So that's a little bit more challenging.
Well, and sometimes you can find special carts that have two holders. Yeah, yeah. It depends on which store you're going to. Yeah. We at our Albertsons, they've got ones that are fancy cars that Will gets if he's being a nice little boy and says, please. Mm-hmm. You know, so then he gets to go in the fire truck or the pink car because for some reason that's awesome.
Carrie, how about you?
Yeah. I got lucky, and I'll say it right up front. My kids have never been this way, although Colin is on the fringe.
Oh, okay.
He's deciding that he may decide to be that child. Mm. So for the most part, I have always dealt with my kids thusly. Play poker with what matters. Mm-hmm. If they don't want to be there, they're going to let you know.
Yeah.
So I will just say to them, very much like you do, sometimes I'll say, if he's getting a little squirrely, do you want to use my phone? Or do you want to maybe, and just like Sam did, maybe we'll go get a cookie, which seems kind of like the antithesis. You know, I've got a Riley child. By all means, let's give them sugar. But, you know, like you can put them in that frame of mind where there's a positive consequence to a positive behavior. And that's great.
And they're kind of making a choice. They feel like they're making a choice.
Yeah, you can totally. And that gives them a sense of control in a situation where they absolutely don't feel like they have any because they're being made to do X, Y, and Z.
Once they're strapped into a car seat and they can't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. I think that, you know, I've seen it happen in stores and my gut reaction to other people is, oh God, I want to run over and help you. But it's tough because you don't know what I've also seen. Unfortunately, I've seen it happen in stores and seen the parent go completely unhinged. And I've been like, whoa, that's not helping anyone.
You're the parent.
You know, I won't get involved too much to the point where I'm over there saying you're doing it wrong. Because again, that's that sanctimonious, I know better than you do thing. But I am always happy to say, you know, throw something in their direction like, ooh, not having a good day and kind of distract from the drama of it.
Right. Yeah.
When Colin has on occasion been in a store and maybe he hasn't had enough of a nap or he's been tired and he gets a little squirrely, usually for me, it's an, I just remove him from the environment.
That's what I do too. Yeah.
Get them out of the place. Yeah, where they, I mean, it's clearly an attention thing. I just say, okay, well, I just pick him up and I head to the ladies' room and we get in there and I'll sit down and I'll say, I can tell that you're not really happy right now. And I know you probably don't want to talk to me, but if you're going to be sad, we need to be sad here because it's not fair to other people for you to be loud and disruptive. It's just not very kind. And
that's the thing, talking to your kids like they're people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so important to me. Like I will sit down and I will have a long conversation with Will where he'll go, yeah, okay. I love your mom, whatever, you know? But it's important to me to impress upon him that you have to consider other people's feelings and other people are real.
Yeah.
This world does not revolve around you. I am not here for your convenience. If you don't say, please, I'm not getting you something.
Yeah. Because setting expectations and, and not, Mateo, I remember when I wanted to put him in the car seat and he didn't want to be in the car seat and I'm trying to force him in the car seat. And this is when he was probably, you know, 18 months old, 20 months old. And then I stopped and looked at him and I said, Mateo, I need to put you in the car seat so we don't have an accident. You need to be safe. Let me here. And I talked to him about it and I told him what I was doing. And then all of a sudden he just stopped and he let me put the car seat on. I'm like, oh my God, he listened.
Yeah. And that can get hard because when you have little ones who, if they don't feel well or, you know, teething. I mean, I've had instances, I have a nephew who is Colin's age who has Down syndrome and he is, sometimes we'll just have, you know, outbursts in public places. And it can be, I see my sister-in-law kind of struggle with like, do I just let him go through it? Because for him, it's more of a processing thing and not so much of an indication of not wanting to be where he is. It's just that all of a sudden he got overwhelmed with something and it's not a bad thing. It's, you know, I don't want to, I always tell her, you know him better than anybody else does. If the best way for you to deal with him is to get him someplace where he feels safe. That's why I always just default to remove. I can't control Eden when she doesn't have a volume control. So when she starts to babble, you know, she has 12-year-old volume. She can get kind of loud. I will get up, don't make a big deal out of it if I'm at a restaurant or whatever, and go to leave. Most of the time people will say, you don't have to leave. It's okay. I'm not leaving because I feel bad about it. I'm leaving because it's appropriate to her because she needs something that she's not getting right there.
Right.
And I perfectly do want to keep in mind the feelings, you know, not everybody goes out to dinner and wants to deal with my 12-year-old having a wonderful speech moment. And it's great that she's talking. I'll take what I can get, but there's a time and a place for everything. And it's not, I try to be conscientious of that more than I'm worried about. I don't think that my kid is trying to tell me something about being upset. I think that they're just, I can't handle this right now. So let me just get you somewhere where you can at least tell me how you feel about it. Well, and then we can go from there.
Well, and that goes back to kind of reading your child, right? Yeah. And understanding, you know, oh, I know if I try to go out before Mateo's nap, I'm going to have a crazy little monster on my hands. You know?
Right? One of the things that I cannot stand, and is a parenting pet peeve, people write it down, is that I cannot stand people who don't parent their children in public. Yeah. I know your snowflake is magical and wonderful. He's fantastic. That's great. But you have a responsibility to a community to raise somebody who can function in a community because that's it. I say this, I know I keep going back to Eden, but it applies for all my kids, that they live in this world. This world is not going to change to them, to adapt to them. It's the other way around. So being aware of your place in a bigger picture, not just your family, but in a bigger global picture, is really important. And I think that starts at a young age and they get it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, and it can influence the way that they act, you know, in different places and different circumstances. But like, I agree with you, when they're really tiny, I just remove, I just say, let's just get out of the way and let you, if you're having an emotional moment, I mean, we can move. I know that when I was younger, it was, for me, this is the early 70s. Oh, yikes. That makes me feel old. It's
late 70s. It was, for me.
You're not acting right. And my mother would get the death grip on my upper right arm. And I was all, oh, she has angry face. Oh, geez. And I would just kind of get with the picture, or there was a swat on the butt, or there was something that kind of snapped me out of it at the moment. Totally. And I think there's a time and a place. Some parents are really, really apply those, you know, spanking, and some people don't believe in it. Whatever works for your kid that keeps everybody in this situation calm and happy and healthy, you're winning.
Yeah.
So I don't hold I don't hold a grudge against anybody who does those things.
So Chad, I hope a little bit of that helps you out and gives you some ideas. Or
we're Tylenol, Chad.
Yeah.
Big liberal distribution of Tylenol to everybody. It helps.
Especially like Excedrin, because it has a caffeine in it too.
Yes. See?
And any little bit helps.
Yep.
So not for the kids, just for the parents. Exactly. We're talking about coping mechanisms. Yes.
Back to whiskey. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So if you have an email that you want us to read during solicited advice, you can, again, email us at nerdparents@gmail.com. You can head on over to our website, if I can speak, at nerdparents.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. I do have the Twitter handle for Nerd Parents, but I'm actually, it's currently down right now because I think it got hacked. So I'm working on that. But in the meantime, you can follow all three of us on Twitter if you like to tweet. I'm at Nicole Spag. Carrie is at Coffee Please. It's PLZ. And then Samantha's at Sam Jane on Twitter. Carrie, is there anything else that I've left out that the fine folks listening, if you want to give them any more information? I don't know.
About me? Well, guys, what you see is what you get. I'm sure these two ladies can tell you that I am like this in person. This is who I am. This year, if many of the Frog Pants family is making it out to Utah with any luck, I will have at least two, if not three, of the children in tow.
I think I'm going
to
do that
too. You'll be
too.
Able to get the live version of me with my children, which might be frightening for some people because they're used to the non-child toting Cleo. But I really would like to just kind of open this up and just say real quickly, thank you to everybody who has been a support to us over the last several years. Eden has had some pretty serious medical issues, particularly in the last few weeks. And the support shown by the internet community has been amazing and really reaffirms to both my husband and I that there are good people in the world and many of you fall into that category. So thank you.
We love you, Cleo.
Yay. Thank you.
How about you, Samantha?
Nothing really to add other than, you know, liberal amounts of whiskey.
That's right.
Not really.
Not really.
I like where your head's at, girl. All
maybe,
day, all
maybe
night.
Maybe a cup of tea and a long hot bubble bath.
Mm. Absolutely. See, take care of yourself, yes. Parents. It's important.
Yeah. Yes, so. that is key.
And I'm horrible at following that advice, but I'm great at dishing it out. Yeah, I'm trying. For those of people who have been texting me and tweeting me saying, have you done anything for yourself today? It's 12:38 here in Kansas City, and I'm still in my pajamas.
Hey,
so I'm content.
You know what, though? I think this show counts as taking care of yourself.
It does. Absolutely.
So at least once a week, if you show up.
Right. Therapy, ladies.
Yes.
That's what we're here for.
Parenting therapy.
That's right.
All good right. Stuff. So let's go ahead and close this hour and 15-minute show up. next week.
You picked people who like to talk.
I know. Right. Well, next week, I believe as long as Mr. Brian Ibbett is not sick, he will be, him and his lovely wife, Tina, will be joining us on the show. We'll have our first dad on the show. And we're going to have even more, and I hope Daryl from Ask a Trek Nerd on the morning stream, he'll be on the show. I hope to get Eric Mailer, who does the Mr. Mom podcast. He's a stay-at-home dad. Of course, getting Scott Johnson and Kim on the show. So just a bunch of different parents. And in fact, if you have any suggestions for parents that you think would be great on the show, again, nerdparents@gmail.com. Thank you so much for tuning in and bearing through our episode, our very, very first episode. Well, actually episode zero. So thanks again and have a wonderful day. I don't have a tagline yet. So there you go. Take care. Bye.
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 Well, I did it!
Yay!